Every time I like something that you say, I'm going to throw one at your head. Good job, Derek.
Sounds good. Sounds good. That'll be great.
Murray offered me one of his fruit snacks today.
Oh, that's so sweet of him.
Which I think is the most sincerest gift that he can probably give.
It is. Though he is quite willing to share his food most of the time, which is a sweet tendency.
Fruit snackster.
That's true. He does love his fruit snacks. All right. So how are we going to get this kicked off?
I don't know. I did the heavy lifting last episode.
Yeah, you did.
I'm planning on just...
sitting back and doing nothing this time?
Yep. Exactly that.
Well, that's good.
Perhaps
no
making
pressure.
It difficult for you to finish your train of thought.
Well, that's always helpful. You know how good I am at following my own train of thought.
And eating fruit snacks.
So I gotta say something you like to get you to throw one of those in my head, huh?
I don't know if I'm going to now that I'm eating these.
Hey, I'm Derek.
And I'm Tanya.
We've got three kids. Rainy?
Yeah.
Emerson?
And introducing... We're set to learn about marriage, parenting, and whatever else comes up as we stumble through the joys and sorrows of life.
This is the journey of two young, homeschooled Christian parents exploring what we're teaching and learning while we grow ourselves and raise our kids.
It's been a week.
Boy, have exciting things happened this week. Basically, the exciting thing for me is I got a vasectomy. I'm on the other side. I'm free and clear. Well, I'm not free and clear yet.
You still have stitches to fall out, but...
Yeah. But, like, I mean, I'm not sterile yet either, so to speak. I still gotta... get the little floaters out of the system yet.
Oh, my goodness.
So we're going to be talking about this later, kind of after doing initial stuff we learned and then follow-up stuff. But and that's going to be a completely TMI or NSFW something. We're going to just talk free and clear about everything having to do with the vasectomy, because trying to talk around anatomy and other delicate parts of the discussion, we're just not going to do that. So hide your kids, but not your wives.
Maybe take your filter like from here to here.
What? I've been good. I've been doing good. You should talk. My goodness.
Pregnancy makes me a mess. Mm-hmm. It's the pregnancy.
Yeah. You had a pretty good day yesterday, which was nice.
It was very nice.
And we are officially into the third trimester.
Woot woot.
Yay. Only three more months to go. Three more. Yeah. So what does that mean in for the normal people who have not had children? That's 28 weeks. Is that
right?
You
want me to say how long it's supposed to be or how long it feels?
How long are what are the actual numbers associated with the
weeks.
Third? So 12 weeks. Yeah, but like you are currently.
Oh, I'm currently 28 weeks.
28 weeks for your pregnancy. Cool.
Yep.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
And onward and upward.
I really hope tomorrow in the ultrasound she is head down.
Mm-hmm.
And placental legs look good. And she is measuring big enough that I don't have to go to maternal fetal medicine, but we shall see. Life is an adventure.
It is. Oh, boy. So, you want to talk about stuff that you've learned? I know
so
you have some stuff.
Learned lives today. I've had so much VeggieTales stuck in my head today.
Pretty much everything I learned in the last couple of weeks was
about your vasectomy.
About my vasectomy.
Oh, my goodness.
It's just been preoccupying my mind.
As the date approached more and more, he was more fixated on what's coming up because needles.
Yeah, it's one of those things. But we'll get into that later. I say that to say I don't really have anything else for, I don't have anything for stuff I've learned, because I haven't learned anything in the last couple of weeks.
Well, you can talk about this too, because this is something we both learned.
But, oh, okay.
Sometimes the things that are driving you most insane about the stage of parenting, the things that your child is doing, you discover are them directly mirroring you.
Oh, yeah.
So
that's fun.
Rainey's going through this stage right now where if she's upset about something, she will say, you know, if we give her an answer she doesn't like, then she's like, well, if you say that, I'm going to throw something or I'm going to shout.
Yes.
Or, you know, which is being confronted with that type of statement is mildly shocking and horrifying as a parent. But then also we'll be like, well, if you're going to end up doing that, then this will be the consequence from that. And it's normally something talked through and it doesn't ever get to the consequence. But it bothered me for a while. And Derek and I were talking about it. And then he's like, you realize that she's actually just mirroring the way that we talk about natural consequences with her. And I mean, it sounds like bargaining. Mm-hmm. She's trying out the whole bargaining thing. But it is very similar to us saying, you know, this is what's going to happen if, you know, this happens.
Yes. I got to say, I absolutely love this stage because she's now going from being reactionary to figuring out how to actually communicate with people, mm-hmm. and figure out how we can get to a place where everybody is happy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, mostly she's still fixated on herself at this point, but she's figuring out that she needs to
communicate
with people. And I mean, people use bargaining as a word to that means something negative when it comes to kids, like, oh, the kids are bargaining to try to get what they want.
Manipulative.
But that's exactly what you want, is a communicative child,
yeah.
who wants to work with you to try to figure out how everybody can be happy. So,
and again, we're not saying,
I love,
like,
that
in
this is developing.
In these situations, we don't change our mind on the outcome or the consequence.
Right.
But there's actual back and forth, and she's actually able to use a little bit of logic in the midst of high emotion, which is huge growth,
mm-hmm.
for a toddler.
Yep.
Because reality is a scary place for a toddler at this stage. I mean, yeah. So, good steps.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. What else do you have?
That's all I have.
That's all you got? Cool. Well, I have some follow-up from our past shows. Remember the beard conversation,
mm-hmm.
about how the greatest turn would be that if would be if I'm the only one who had the problem of water dribbling out of my beard. Well, we got exactly one piece of feedback on that. And I have been vindicated. Although, I mean, the response was that they didn't think that their water intake was lessened by the fact that they had a beard. Which, I mean, there's other factors for that for me too, but they also get dribbles, so I feel much better about my life.
Huzzah.
Yay! Boy, if you did not listen to last week's episode, that's going to sound funny. Anyway, the other piece of feedback was on tipping. Cameron wrote in to...
not tipping things over, but tipping your waiter.
Right, tipping my waiter. Tipping the waiter. So Tanya was talking about last week how she learned how to tip. So Cameron wrote in about the easiest way to do tipping. Do you want advice on tipping?
Sure, but I'm not sure if this is snarky, if it's coming from Cameron.
No, it's actually, it's not snarky.
Okay.
So tipping made really easy. Take the end total after tax, so like the total of your bill, and multiply it by 0.3. So this was where he got my attention. He says, I will always default to a 30% tip unless the service was really bad for some reason. That was actually the server's fault, i.e. not bad food, that's the kitchen. Mm-hmm. But the lowest I'll tip is 20%. So it would depend on your percentage. If you're, mm-hmm. tipping 20%, you do 0.2.
P.S. He has also been a waiter. So
yes.
That's a very valid perspective.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll get there.
I sense a disturbance in the force.
So tipping is a thing for me. But let me finish out his thing. He says, so many people don't know how to tip well, or some crazy people just won't tip. On one hand, I want to be generous, and let's be real, when 10% is the difference of $5, that will mean little to me, but a lot to a server. But that also makes up for the terrible tippers that I promise you they encounter. And so I was like,
if you're not going to leave a tip, at least leave a tract. That will.
Yeah, that'll smooth over everything with the waiter. They'll go to heaven. You get a cheaper dinner. Everything's good, right?
Heavy sarcasm.
So I responded, I'd never heard of someone tipping 30% standard. That's really interesting. When did you come to that method? He said in college when going out to eat with friends who were servers. Now that he's a server too, he gets it. There are people who don't tip well for no apparent reason, and really, when someone leaves me a couple extra bucks, it makes me feel really special, even though it really isn't much. A small act of generosity can go a really long way, especially if they're having a rough day and or people are being difficult. He said, occasionally he may tip 20%, but never less than that. He thinks of 20% as the norm. So, I will say, so this is not really even follow-up. This is more of like a rabbit trail on follow-up. But yeah, I mean, I'm always for 20% tipping as a standard, but boy, I will never deviate from that, because if you ever, tipping is such a mental load, so like socially for me. Whenever you're at like a coffee shop where they have a tip jar, like, oh, do you tip or not? Now, typically you don't probably need to tip there. I would hope that they pay their people who are making their food.
Yeah, if somebody makes a drink for you and then you're offered like, or you buy like a coffee straight from the percolator,
mm-hmm.
and then there's still the option of tipping on the bill.
Mm-hmm.
Like Speckled Hen does that. And I'm like, yeah. Where is this money going?
Yeah, that's absolutely aggravating to me. The thing about tipping is that
I think I actually asked one time and they said that tips get split
among everybody.
Among
there.
Everyone. I think that I asked that there because I was like, where does the tip go? Do people normally tip? What is like the, and they're like, some people do. It's really up to the person.
Mm-hmm. And then
is not an answer to me. You know.
And then you have, but then you have like the typical restaurant waiter who needs to be tipped because they are not paid properly. Like they should be paid. Like any normal person who should be being paid at least a minimum wage.
Wow, it sounds like you have opinions on this.
I do have opinions on this. The whole reason tipping exists and is a social standard is because restaurants don't tip their waiters enough. Therefore, I'm not going to ease that burden on the restaurant more by doing like a standard 30%. I know like
Oops.
Waiters. Oh, I got thrown a gummy bear. This is good. This is good times.
It went over your head though.
Hang on, I'll be right back.
I had to throw him a gummy because I thought he was going to spontaneously combust if I didn't break the rant.
Nom, 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 nom.
It was my last gummy, too. Do you feel the love in that gummy?
I do feel the love in that gummy. Mm.
Derek always gives me his ice cream cone butt, like the bottom mm-hmm. of it, because that's like my favorite part of the ice cream, and he knows it's like a way to love me especially.
Especially if there's like a chocolate tip in the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I know you love that.
Chocolate insides with like the melty ice cream bits.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, back to I got distracted there for a second. It was very good, but I'm all on board with waiters being paid more, but I'm not, but the thing about tipping more than what is the social standard is that then you start lessening the restaurant's burden, and I don't want that to start becoming all the consumer's thing, all the consumer's responsibility. This sort of thing happened with Uber a couple of years back now. Uber started out as a business where they did not allow tipping for their drivers. And then drivers were persisting, like wanting tipping, that Uber was like, fine, I'll give you tipping. And now it's expected for the consumer to tip the Uber driver. Which is bad for the drivers and the consumers, because the consumers don't know, okay, what's the typical tipping? What is And the drivers now rely on that source of income because it's expected that people tip. And it just makes everything confusing and terrible for everyone. Basically, I don't really have any like thing to bring out of this that's applicable. Aside from, if you start a restaurant, just go ahead and like pay your waiters full, you know, your full wage, and then raise your food prices, and then tell everybody not to tip, and it'll be great. Everybody
basically
will love
your
that.
Response to the entire tipping is to try to change the entire system because you think it's flawed.
Yeah, which is not going to work.
That's good. It's going to catch on.
Yeah, I'm that's sure. not that's not going to work.
Write a paper and leave it with each of your tips. with a sticky note that says, for the manager.
Waiters, unionize so that you can get good pay. Now, it's more of a rant of hopelessness and it's never going to change. And I'm going to tip generously at 20%, but I'm not going to go above that probably. So I'm sorry to all the servers who get gypped by stingy people. Anyway, that was a nice lighthearted thing. Should we go on to, we should go on to main story.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a vasectomy. And just as a reminder, we're turning filters off probably at this point because it's going to be too hard not to.
So if this is a topic that interests you, awesome.
Mm-hmm.
This is a topic that's just baffling and will mentally cause you to struggle in some way. Just step
or if you
away.
Just think it's gross, like, yeah. Okay, whatever, fine.
But I think a part of the discussion should also be why we're okay with getting a vasectomy.
Yes, definitely going to do that.
What some people might have wrong, feel wrongly about getting a vasectomy.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
Yeah.
I really wanted to research a little bit more historically into this because, I mean, like, historically, a woman giving birth to many children was seen as, like, a status thing almost.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
the more children
a value,
you had was
a value thing. And I still feel that in culture, and I still feel that in, especially in Christian culture. And I don't know how much mm-hmm. of that has transferred over. And some of that is legitimate because we are called to the biblical mandate to be fruitful and multiply. And also, the Bible is really clear that children are a blessing.
And producing children is one of women's huge strengths. That's something that they could do very well most of the time.
That men cannot do.
That men cannot do. Men are incapable of producing children. You know what I mean.
Growing children within their bodies. Mm-hmm. Anyways.
So we'll talk about that too. But yeah, so I just had, so the vasectomy happened, what is it, 3 or 4 days ago at this point? It's three?
It was on Friday.
It's on Friday.
Saturday, Sunday, Monday. 3 days.
Okay. So 3 days ago. And I decided on Instagram to kind of vlog my entire day of feelings and such because it was sort of a form of therapy for me. Because I really was not looking forward to the numbing shots portion of the vasectomy. But people were surprisingly into it. The watch, like the people watching my stories was surprisingly thorough. Like people who started, I only dropped like maybe two or three by the end of the day, which is pretty cool. So people were into it, I guess. What were your thoughts about that when you woke up and saw me deciding to
I figured it was helping you mentally walk through it in your head.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, some people are going to be offended by this.
Yeah.
And I really hope that people aren't, but also if they are, they don't have to watch. Which is like, some of my friends reached out and they were like, this is great. I was having a really bad day and I'm really enjoying this. And I mean, a lot of people are just curious about what everything entails, because it's interesting and people are not normally very open about surgical procedures.
Yeah.
And
especially
like,
when
I really
having
hope
to do
that we
with
don't...
one's genitalia.
Yeah. Well, and I was like, I really hope that people aren't offended. And friends were like, well, if they are, they don't have to watch. So. Mm-hmm.
All right. So I actually went to work for half the day, which was good because that enabled me to think about not the vasectomy for most of the day. So then I got a call towards the middle of the day saying, hey, you can come in anytime. We're really slow today and people aren't showing up. So we can take you whenever, which I was not prepared for. But
I feel like that was kind of good, though, for you.
Yeah.
Like,
at that
point, you were just sitting and spinning your fingers and not really able to focus on anything else. So,
So I went home, went to the doctor, got it done.
They didn't let me go back.
Yeah.
I had asked really a few people beforehand that. Who had taken husbands for vasectomies, and some of them had been allowed to go back. So I was really hoping because, normally whenever Derek does a medical procedure, I'm with him to help him not pass out. But they would not let me. And pregnancy plus this desire to go with Derek and take care of him.
Mm-hmm. Your mama bear came out a little bit.
I was so angry. I was so angry for hours afterwards. Derek's like, I'm so glad it's done. And I'm like, I'm still angry.
So the entire procedure was like maybe 15, 20 minutes. I
thought it was like 45. I could not focus in the waiting room.
I know, you poor thing. And the part of the reason was because after the numbing shots, so, you know, they get me all prepped and they pull out the relevant parts. They
they alter the relevant parts.
No. They
create
they
a hole and just pull anything out they can find, throw it off to the side. Don't need this anymore.
Well, we might as well get into like particulars of what a vasectomy is. So what it is you're chopping out a part of the vas deferens, which is the tube leading from the testicles to wherever it connects into the urethra to go whenever you ejaculate. And that part, that little tube from the testicles, is what they're cutting out. So they do a little incision in the scrotum. They pull it out. They do a little snip snip. And then they seal off the vas deferens either with,
cauterize
it. I don't know that they cauterized mine, though, because I didn't ever smell any burning. So they must have done something different. But yeah, really interesting to, it's really fast. Like I said, it was done in 15, 20 minutes. So it was pretty cool. But after the initial numbing shots on the scrotum, I made it through the numbing shots and then I passed out after that and my phone dropped to the floor. So then I didn't have my phone for the rest of the procedure after I became conscious. So I couldn't update Tanya with my status. So she was just sitting there for like 15 minutes without
watching
any...
people come in and out and wondering if Derek was dying and they had botched the procedure.
Uh-huh.
It's such a simple procedure. Like if you're looking at a permanent birth control procedure, a tubal or something like that is way more invasive and has way more opportunities for complications in comparison to something like this.
Yeah.
And also for all of the people, this conversation is so silly, feels so silly to be having after all of the abortion conversation that's been happening on the interwebs the last 2 weeks. But for all of those posts where people are like, every guy should just get a vasectomy, people... instead of like asking a woman to go on birth control, people clearly do not understand how a vasectomy works, because when you get a vasectomy, it is not meant to be reversed down the road.
Yeah.
Because people are like, and then just get them reversed. There is like a very low percentage of a vasectomy reversal even being a possibility.
Yeah. I believe my doctor said it's only about 50% of vasectomies can be reversed. Because I mean, the vas deferens can be longer or shorter. If it's a shorter vas deferens, if you take out any bit of it, then it's harder to get that back together. And of course, the ability to replicate, like always possible to do a vasectomy, always harder to reverse a vasectomy, and it gets harder and harder to reverse a vasectomy the more vasectomies you have.
Snip, snap, snip, snap.
Snaps. Do you have any idea the emotional toll that takes on a person?
Oh, do you have any idea the emotional toll that 3 consecutive vasectomies? Sorry, office
yes.
quote.
But anyway, I'm 3 days later though, and I'm already feeling remarkably better. Like, the first day, I actually felt really great. I was a little surprised at how good I felt. Right now, my biggest annoyance is the fact that everything had to be shaved beforehand and all the little stubbles coming back in. And that's really obnoxious and grating. And basically the stitches just kind of hurt a little bit. But the testicle pain is mostly gone. And I mean, if I'm, I don't want to be like running a sprint right now. That's not my idea of a good time. But in the grand scheme of things, like, I was just tussling around with the kids this morning. Like, I was feeling pretty great. So
we'll see if you're feeling great later.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yesterday, I may have overdid it a little bit much in the morning, and then I was out a little bit more in the afternoon. But again, for a surgery, feeling great. Feeling great. So.
So previously, because this has been a question that's come from different people who are very embarrassed to ask, but have asked mm-hmm. us nonetheless, because we've kind of whipped out children left and right to an extent. I mean, we've been married almost 5 years, and this is our 3rd pregnancy. Plus, we had a miscarriage. Honestly, I've been pregnant more than not at this point in our marriage, which is kind of a weird realization.
Yeah.
But yes, we meant to have every child that we had so far. Every single child was planned. This last one was like a few months earlier than what we had expected. Mm-hmm. We were doing natural family planning, and we totally were like, whatever.
Yeah.
If this happens a few months earlier, I mean, yeah.
So now Tanya has to be pregnant during the summer, which is unfortunate, but yeah.
It's okay. It's okay. So yes, we did mean to have all of the children that we had. In fact, I mean, Emerson, we had wanted to have way earlier, but God's timing on that was really good. Mm-hmm. So, and our reasons for a vasectomy now?
Because, I mean, we've talked about hyperemesis gravidarum for Tanya. The constant sickness is too much. We can't do that anymore. Doing that with 3 kids, I mean, doing it with 2 kids was a lot, and
it's easier to find help for 1 child.
Yeah.
It gets harder with 2.
Yeah. It's going to get a lot harder with 3.
That's real, real hard. And, mm-hmm. My health is so compromised for so long that I can't take care of my family.
Yeah.
I can't serve. It plays into my mental health hugely. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, there's postpartum anxiety and stuff, and some other ways that my body has struggled to recover after a few pregnancies that were like, I think that, well, we know that this is going to be the last one. We wanted to know which, for myself at least, I needed to know that this was our last pregnancy before we committed to it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I needed to know and really appreciate the special moments of a pregnancy and know, like, this is the last one.
Yeah.
But even going into this one, it was like, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm probably going to survive, and it's probably going to be okay. But it's a lot.
Yeah.
So children are an absolute blessing. And if by some miracle after this we were to get pregnant again, we would thank the Lord for it and we would find a way.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, life has been compromised for a very long time whenever I'm pregnant, and I would really like to be able to take care of people again.
Yeah.
Also, there's a lot of other ways to expand our family and continue to parent. I think a lot of people don't even consider the foster care system and kids out there that need help. A lot of people do.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know why it's seen as a nobler profession to shoot a baby out from your body instead of, you know, I don't know if the kids too.
I mean, maybe this might just be me seeing through rose tinted glasses, but I'm not sure that giving birth to babies is seen as more noble than foster care, like than fostering to adopt. Do you think?
I don't know. I feel like a natural birth is more celebrated than fostering.
Yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right. Yeah.
I mean, we know some people who just decide to forego having their own kids and decide to foster to adopt.
Yeah, actually, we're related to some.
And the first question people often ask in those scenarios is it because you can't have your own kids? You know, like, mm-hmm. you just assume yeah. that. Yeah. Do you ever think getting a vasectomy for a Christian couple would be wrong?
Yes, because everything could be wrong given the right circumstance and motivation.
And honestly, like, it's such a deeply personal choice, you can't make it for anyone else.
Yeah, that's something that that is very deeply personal, because most of the time you don't go around blabbing about your decisions about getting pregnant or how many kids you want to have or blah, 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 blah. We're a little bit different like that. We like to live our life out loud for people to look at, but
we are very open about stuff.
Yeah, yeah, we like being
like
open about stuff.
Walking down the street, like, hey, look at me, this is my life.
Like, the reason I wanted to talk about the vasectomy is not for like the fanfare of, oh, someone got a vasectomy and that's like intensely interesting. Part of it is I want to be able to help anybody who's thinking about doing this to kind of see, oh, this is what it's like. This is what somebody's experience doing this.
Yeah. And some people have reached out, people who have wanted one but have been fearful of what the process would be like. Some people have reached out to talk about the pressure that they feel from family to keep having kids, despite how difficult it is for them. Mm-hmm. And just asking how we were okay with that choice, which has led, I mean, historically, like, we are not okay with birth control that is abort efficient in any way, which specifically, like, if it's thinning the lining of the uterus,
yeah, that's
for a fertilized egg. So we studied that a lot. We have like the Christian Guide to Contraceptions that I read before.
You did. That's right. Before we got married.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And talked to a Christian midwife friend for a while about some of that. And we tried a very specific pill that sent everything on vacation and didn't thin the uterine lining, I guess. It was so long ago. But I should have known how I would handle pregnancy, because I got super sick and dizzy with that. Mm-hmm. And so it just wasn't an option for us. And then so many of the popular options have the fail-safe of thinning the lining of the uterus on top of it. So just wasn't an option for us there. And condoms are not fun for either of us. So yeah. Also not 100% effective, but...
They're 99.999. As long as you're applying them right, they're pretty darn effective.
Anyways. So that would be where generally we stand on birth control.
Mm-hmm. But as far as like the sin thing with the birth control, you have to be in a really selfish spot to be, I think to be in a sinful place regarding that, for like getting a vasectomy. If you're considering getting a vasectomy because there are complications that are really taking a toll on your family, with pregnancy, that like, or even just trying to get pregnant, like that sort of emotional toll can, I can 100% see the reason to do a vasectomy if it helps you focus on growing the kingdom through, you know, focusing on the family that you have now, mm-hmm. and serving the people around you. Mm-hmm. If you're focusing on growing the kingdom, that's what you want to be focusing on. Mm-hmm. Having babies is one aspect of that.
Mm-hmm.
That was something that I don't want to take credit for that. You were talking about that last night, which
I was reading an article by Piper about that he was talking about, you know, building the kingdom is our primary focus and bringing glory to God, and having children is a part of that, but it's not the only thing. And I appreciate that he talked about Paul, the passages where Paul talks about the gift of singleness, and then, you know, a married woman, her focus is also on pleasing her husband. So she's a little distracted from kingdom focus in that sense. But there's also a beauty and a godliness in that sort of servant heartedness towards her husband and her family in it, to an extent. and then he just went on to talk about, like, you know, so in seasons of life, you know, there's different ways that we're building the kingdom. So if your reasoning for getting a vasectomy is a personal, my own kingdom building, like, I would like to, you know, travel the world for the rest of my life and be free of responsibility and, you know, not have to serve in that way. It's not kingdom building, God's kingdom building. Mm-hmm. So that's something just to work through personally.
Yeah.
on the flip side, I think that expanding your family is a matter of stewardship. I mean, that's what my conscience feels. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that your children need the American dream. I don't think that each of your children need their own room. What the world tells you your child needs is often incredibly lavish and over the top. But also I've seen families who are cranking out children left and right, who are in their late 40s, completely relying on their parents for their groceries and stuff because they can't personally provide for that, which is hard for me to rectify in my mind. And then, I mean, situations where marriages are really unhealthy and there's abuse or violence or just a very unhealthy marriage. And I feel like you should work through that first before you bring children into the picture. Mm-hmm. But again, God can redeem every situation.
Yeah.
And me saying those things as examples, I hope it doesn't come across as like judgment. But for me personally, I wouldn't be okay in either of those situations to keep popping out kids.
So in conclusion, I recommend vasectomies. 10 out of 10. Would do it again if given the option, as long as I didn't have a vasectomy already, because then it'd be pointless. So with that said, we're gonna wrap up the show. Gonna go get another bag of frozen peas, and we'll talk to you later. I love you.
Love you too.
Thanks for listening. If you want to follow or talk to us, you can do that on Instagram at SetToLearn, or leave us a voice message at settolearn.com/talk, and you could be on the show. But until next time, keep learning.